Mario's Sunday Roast on Today FM.
With avantcard.ie. Personalised loans made for you pricing.
Welcome back to Mario's Sunday Roast. Now it's time for the story behind the song, and I'm delighted to be joined today by a colleague of mine who goes way back with me to the beginning of the Ian Dempsey Breakfast Show. He in 1998, and I drifted in 1999, and also to the beginning of Gift Grub, would you believe, because he was instrumental in the beginning of that as well. And he's the lead singer with the Undertones, and of course the presenter of the musically unimpeachable Paul McLoone Show.
Oh, no. You made me sound like a fugitive from the dawn of time.
I just wanted to get in that word impeached and unimpeachable. We have to get that word in. But anyway, Paul McLoone, how are you?
Good, yes, yes. Thanks very much for having me in.
Yeah, no, I'm delighted to have you in because you're one of the people that, of course, would be thinking, oh my God, when is he going to get McLoone on for this now, you know? And actually, to that end, I was sharing text messages with Alison the other day, Alison Curtis, our good friend, and she said, I hear McLoone's doing the show on Sunday, yeah? What has he picked? And I went, oh, it's pretty cool. I replied back to her and she went, oh, let me guess, Love Will Tear Us Apart.
Ah.
And I went, no.
It so nearly was.
And I went, no, Black. And she went... I just went Black and she went Purple Rain and I went no early 70s and she took about 2 minutes and then she little dots at the pin and said Marvin and I went yeah
yes
and it is
yeah what's going on
it's Marvin Gaye what's going on
and it's what's going on sadly once again it is what's going on isn't it I mean in terms of the resonance of this song now and America is so divided and of course you know we're just watching the TV over the last couple of days Trump in full flight is just incredible and you literally find yourself sitting looking at the telly CNN at 3 in the morning weeping into your wine going what's going on and indeed look at what's going on I mean just look at the state of it you know
just as a matter of is there a question mark at the end of what's going on
I think it's deliberately ambiguous I think it's kind of it can be the question or the rhetorical question of oh my God what the expletive deleted is going on. Or it could be, this is a statement of the times we're in. This is what's going on. What are we going to do about it? You know, so I think it's both.
Mm. And this is Marvin Gaye. And this is the early 70s, Paul, yeah?
Yeah, 1970 was the beginning of I think it was actually released in 71, but it was written and mostly recorded, I think, in 1970. And, you know, that was a time, obviously, where what was going on in America, just like today, wasn't pretty. And I think Marvin Gaye felt that political kind of atmosphere. He also, I think, was getting a little disenchanted with the pop thing. He was on Motown Records, of course, had a hugely successful career. He'd had a few reversals, personally. Tammy Terrell, his great singing partner, she had passed away around this time as well. So he was in something of a kind of a low, I think, personally, in terms of his frame of mind. And I think he wanted to just do something a bit more reflective, a bit more personal, and a bit more political, and a bit more, I guess, substantial. I think he was looking at the world around him and kind of thinking, I need to talk about what's going on. We're going to keep coming back to it, but it's such a great title.
And before we talk about what's going on, you alluded to his pop days. So I want to play this clip for you because you've probably heard this, and I heard it only recently, actually, and it just blew me away. This is Marvin Gaye's vocals with the production all stripped back on Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Ooh, I bet you're wondering how I knew about your plans to make me blue with some other guy. You knew before between the two of us guys you know I love you more it took me by surprise I must say when I found out yesterday don't you know that I heard it through the grapevine not much longer would you be mine oh I heard it through the grapevine oh I'm just about to
Jesus.
It's just incredible. And you know what he has? And it's that lovely combination of power. You know, he can belt it like Otis, and then he's got this lovely melodic thing that Smokey Robinson has, and he's got this lovely grace, this beautiful, almost feminine fluidity in the vocal. It's just such a great combination of aspects of a voice. And it's one of the greatest of all time.
And that's his raw talent. But getting back to where we were. So it's early 70s. It's a Nixonian period, which is kind of, you know, emblematic of this kind of period as well.
Yes.
And but the music of that time, did you, were you a fan of the music of that time or, you know, 70, 71, 72? Or?
Yeah, I mean, well, retrospectively, yes. I mean, it's a great fertile time in popular music. I guess it's the dawn of the album age, really. Sgt. Pepper kind of changed the game just a couple of years before. And the big rock acts, particularly Led Zeppelin, I think it was actually Led Zeppelin 4 came out around now in 1970 or 71. And the big albums were beginning to happen. And I think that was another thing that fed in ultimately to Marvin Gaye's maybe a certain sense of dissatisfaction with what he was doing. I think he wanted to do something a bit more, as I say, substantive and a bit more artistically rewarding for him personally. Because if you take something like Heard It Through the Grapevine, it's a great song and his is the definitive version, but he wasn't even the first guy in Motown to have a crack at that song, you know? The way Motown worked was you were kind of in a stable of artists, or the way it had worked up to that time was that you were in a stable of artists and guys like Berry Gordy were calling the shots. Berry Gordy, the big impresario, of course, behind the whole Motown thing. And that worked as a model. It was terrific. It was massively successful. It brought huge, huge wealth to Berry Gordy particularly. Some of the artists maybe not so much. But I think Marvin at that point was feeling a certain frustration, a certain kind of sense that he wanted the chains kind of removed. He wanted to just creatively express himself in a way that he hadn't done up to that point.
Okay, let's get to the song itself. What's the meat of this song? What's the beef?
What's Going On has a strange kind of creative story, really, because it came from a conversation that a guy from the Four Tops, a guy called Obie Benson, and he had witnessed a kind of an instance, sadly, and I guess still a commonplace instance of police brutality at a protest in California in the very late part of the 1960s. And it was really him that kind of, he wanted to write something about it, but his band or his group, the Four Tops, I mean, they weren't interested in going there. It was
politically, like,
and probably under a bit of pressure. They were another Motown band, probably a bit of pressure from Berry Gordy once again, just go, look, we don't do that. We do entertainment. We're not really going to kind of talk about the situation. And obviously, I guess the elephant in the room was the fact that, you know, America was having this terrible strife. It was very divided. There was a lot of police brutality, a lot of oppression. And the victim in all of that was in a lot of cases, not all, but in a lot of cases, young black people. And America was in the midst of a dreadful, wasteful war, and Nixon's in the White House, and who's going over to fight it? A lot of them are young black men, and a lot of them aren't coming home. So that's all feeding into this kind of stew of social kind of dynamics that were kind of abroad at the time. But Marvin Gaye got his hands on the song through another guy who got a writing credit on it, a guy called Al Cleveland, and he had knocked up a version of it. Marvin Gaye took it and personalized it, broadened it out lyrically, made it, I guess, sort of more direct and more openly political. He also redid the melody and turned it into what we eventually heard. So it was a kind of a convoluted process. It also, you know, it was also, I think, Marvin Gaye initially didn't want to sing it. He had another group that he was producing that he wanted to sing the song. And then he was convinced by the guys who'd written the first draft, as it were, that he should sing it. So it was a kind of a strange thing. There's all sorts of little fortunate, little coincidental things that happen, because ultimately we almost never heard this song at all, because the aforementioned Berry Gordy, to kind of, I guess, zip forward a little in the story, but it's a really interesting point, because Berry Gordy hated it. He absolutely loathed What's Going On. He didn't like it musically. He didn't like what it was saying. He told Marvin Gaye so. He was a man who spoke his mind. And it really wasn't going to come out. Berry Gordy absolutely vetoed it. Other people at the company were a little more sympathetic to Marvin. And in fact, it was released without Berry Gordy's consent somehow. However they managed to do it, they had to basically go round the mountain because Berry Gordy just really didn't want to hear it. And that song then led to the album, What's Going On, which is an incredible suite of songs. It's that kind of song cycle model. It's almost symphonic in its structure. The same themes kind of recur, that that thing just keeps coming up over and over again throughout. It's just a beautiful 40 minutes of music. Actually, it's perfect for right now on a Sunday morning. You know, if you don't have it in your collection, get it, stick it on next Sunday morning. You'll thank me later. But that wouldn't have happened. Maybe if that hadn't happened, Stevie Wonder wouldn't have felt as emboldened to make the series of albums that he went on to make in the 1970s, which are some of the most celebrated albums of all time. So really, it ushered in a major step up for the whole Motown thing in an artistic sense. And ironically, the guy who ran Motown just didn't hear it at all.
Yeah.
He didn't want it to come out. Nearly didn't get it.
You've covered so many points in that, which is brilliant. It's like a little mini lecture. Do you do TED Talks, by the way? You should.
I don't.
Paul McLoon.
Marvin, I thought you had to be called TED to do this.
Anyway, here is the main man himself talking about moving towards these political songs.
I think it was around 1969 and 1970. about that period at Motown Records when I stopped thinking so much about my erotic fantasies and I started to think about the war in Vietnam and my brother. At the same time, there was a great deal of unrest in America. The Martin Luther King crusades and the shootings of the kids on the college campuses, and I don't know, I sort of saw the country headed for modern-day civil war.
Yeah, sound familiar.
Yeah, exactly. Paul, why is Marvin Gaye so beloved of musicians especially? I mean, I was just very briefly thinking to myself today, the amount of times he's even name-checked in other songs.
Yeah.
You know, I remember just thinking, Marvin, he was a friend of mine.
Of course.
That's Marvin Gaye they're talking about, right?
Absolutely. The Commodores on Night Shift, the tribute record.
Here's another one, Spandau Ballet.
Listen to Marvin all night
long.
True.
Yeah,
that's very good.
And then even like Charlie Puth and like Let's Get It On, as Marvin used to say. So yeah, he's beloved of musicians.
Yeah, I think he is just one of those guys who's, as you mentioned it before, just the sheer unanswerable talent that the guy has as a singer. And he wasn't just a singer, he was a tremendous musician. He was actually a drummer and could basically play anything. And it's the records and in particular the What's Going On album, I think, that really does that. The album, it's such a landmark record, it's such an important thing, it's so timeless. I mean, literally, it doesn't belong really to any time. Okay, it's got a bit of wah-wah guitar on there and it's kind of the 70s, but it really isn't stuck there, you know. It transcends its moment in time. And of course the message that is, I think, willfully, deliberately, creatively very simple, very direct. If you want to say something, and I think John Lennon, for instance, understood this very, very well. If you want to say something because you feel that you want to use your position to actually make a difference in the world you live in, and be that, you know, you can say, well, that's a pompous notion to have in the first place or whatever. I don't care. But if you do believe that, the simpler you make your message, the more people it's going to reach and the deeper it's going to go. You know, if you get all highfalutin, you're going to cancel this person out and that person's not going to fancy it. If you just say what you want to say and say it very directly. And Marvin Gaye did it on this record. And I think, again, that's something that people have continued to respond to down through the years, particularly as, you know, history starts to echo itself as it's clearly doing at the moment, particularly in America.
Well, that's the story behind the song. Eloquently, beautifully told, as I would have predicted, by Paul McLoon.
You're very kind.
Paul, introduce it.
Well, this is it. We've said enough about it. As I said earlier, if you want to find the perfect Sunday morning record, you're about to hear it, but you're about to hear the single from the album. But do yourself a favor, get the album, get the whole thing, get the coffee on, sit back and enjoy. Just
great Marvin Gaye. What's going on? You're listening to Mario's Sunday Roast. I'm Mario Rosenstock. And coming up in the next hour, we've got Paul Kimmage talking about legendary press conference fracas. And we've also got the great Michael Harding talking to me about all sorts of stuff. Movies, Tommy Tiernan, Peter Casey, public discourse, Buddhism, Cavan, Monaghan. It's all in there. Join us right after this.
Mario's Sunday Roast on Today FM.
With avantcard.ie. Get Ireland's first made-for-you personal loan rates.